Well, welcome to session three, which is where we are in this series. Last time we talked about cultivating healthy spiritual habits. And I hope that you had a little bit of time to consider your own life and to think about the time that you spend in God's word, to think about your own prayer life, to think about your commitment to the church. Healthy spiritual habits help us to increase our dependency upon God. They give us a greater vision of who God is. And as our view of God grows, we are going to naturally desire what He wants. And we're going to start more and more to live in accordance to God's word and God's desires instead of our own. And that's really the essence of what it means to be eternally minded, which is today's mark of a disciple. Disciples who are eternally minded think less of themselves and think more of God. And as we grow to be more eternally minded, we are going to become men who hold loosely to the things of this world and cling tightly to our citizenship in heaven. So there's an outline for you on your table. It's a little different than in the past because I've put the discussion questions right in the outline instead of all at the end. But the part in black is going to be the part that is the outline that you can follow. Eternally minded disciples recognize that they are citizens of heaven. Now, most of us, maybe all of us, are citizens of the United States. And what that means is that we are legally recognized as residents of this country, and that comes with certain rights and privileges that come along with that. So thinking about that citizenship, consider Paul's words in Philippians 3:20, where he says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Being continually mindful of the fact that your true residence is in heaven is the heart of what it means to be eternally minded. Living with the knowledge that this life is not all that there is. And in fact, this life is not even the most important thing that is what this means. The writer of Hebrews described our mindset like this. In Hebrews 13:14, he said, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." Christians know that what we are experiencing here on earth is not going to endure. But guys, it's really easy to say that, and it's really difficult to live that way. Our tendency is to live for the here and now. Our tendency is to like what this world has to offer. It appeals to us. We're highly motivated by how we feel and by what we want and the desires that we have, and even by what other people think about us or think that we should pursue. The book of Hebrews was written to persecuted believers who were living under a tyrannical Roman Empire, suffering severe hardship, and Paul was writing to encourage them. And for them, the reminder was, you know, this world is not your home. There is something better awaiting you. But honestly, when things are going bad, it might actually be easier to realize that this world is not your home. Haven't you experienced that? When things are going bad, when you're experiencing hardship and difficulty, that's when this world starts to lose its appeal and you're ready. You're ready to go home. It's when life is going well that we struggle with being eternally minded. When life is going well for me, I start to feel at home here. It feels good. It feels natural. But we're not supposed to feel at home. The Bible says that, number one, citizens of heaven are strangers and exiles on the earth. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Peter says that every Christian man should think of himself as an exile. In other words, as opposed to being a citizen here, you are an alien here. You're an exile. You're a sojourner. You're a visitor. The last time I traveled internationally was several years ago. It was to India. And of course, just like you, when you've traveled internationally, the first thing you do is you apply for a visa to be allowed to enter that country. No visa, and you don't get in. And then that visa has a time limit. There was, I mean, I wasn't super eager to, you know, to extend my stay, but there was a, you know, there was a deadline. And if I wasn't out by the time my visa expired, I would have been in the nation of India illegally. I had no problem keeping that commitment. But the way Peter says this, it's as if we are walking around in this world carrying a visa. And we don't know when it's going to expire, right? We just know that we have a visa and it's going to expire. And someday the Lord is going to take us home. And that's where we really belong. We're strangers and exiles here. Our real home is our next home. And Jesus is going to bring us there. So because we're strangers and exiles, I think a good reminder for us is that we need to make sure we don't become too comfortable with the customs and the traditions and the ways of our earthly home. Because in a lot of ways, the customs of this world differ from the customs of our heavenly home, the rules of our heavenly home. Instead of embracing ways of life that are contrary to God's word, we are to, as Paul says, or as Peter says, abstain from those pleasures. The world is enjoying those things, but that's not for you. You abstain from that because your citizenship is someplace else. So Peter's reminding us that much of this world is incompatible with what it means for us to be sons of God. It's incompatible. They just don't line up. And we need to be constantly reminded of that. The world encourages you to pursue every desire. We should desire our eternal kingdom above all else. But as long as we're going to be alive here on this earth, we need to live in this world. So Peter also says this in 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles. And by Gentiles, he's simply referring to unbelievers. He's using it as a way of saying unbelievers. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So number two, citizens of heaven conduct themselves honorably. We as believers are not called to pull ourselves out of the world. I don't believe that we're called to live in isolated Christian communes and try to do everything we can to keep from rubbing shoulders with unbelievers. We're supposed to be salt and light in this world, but as we do that, we are also supposed to be honorable. We're supposed to be God glorifying in the ways that we do that. Sure, we're exiles here, but we're living among the citizens of the earth. And so instead of removing us from it, God has left us here to influence the world with the truth of the gospel, to shine a light into dark places. But we're to live in such a way that people will see our good works and glorify God. Being eternally minded demands that you know that God and heaven are better than anything this world has to offer you. You need to know that, and you need to live that way. And that only happens when we recognize our status as sojourners and exiles on this earth. There's a phrase that is meant to be an insult, and it goes like this. Maybe you've heard this. He's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. Have you ever heard that? It's meant to be an insult. What it should say is that he's so heavenly minded that he's much earthly good. We are to be heavenly minded. We are not citizens here. Not only do eternally minded disciples recognize they're citizens of heaven, but also, secondly, in your notes, eternally minded disciples seek the things above. We've all heard the saying, be in the world, not of the world. And, you know, part of the point of this lesson is that living like that is a mark of a disciple. It's what mature disciples do. And this seems to be a fairly basic biblical concept, but grasping it and living it out is really profound. And Paul's letter to the Colossians helps us. So we're going to be in Colossians 3 for the rest of our time. Number one, we seek the things above because we are raised with Christ. Starting in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. To be raised with Christ is simply to identify your life and identity with the risen Christ. Your salvation, your relationship with God, all of that is secure in Christ. And we are joint heirs with Christ, and we are now adopted sons of God. And so based on your identity in Christ, Paul says, seek the things that are above. Another way to say that is to be heavenly minded, be eternally minded. Why? Because you have died. And that's what happens when we come to Christ and believe in Jesus. You are dead to who you used to be. And the entire focus of your life shifts to who Christ wants you to be. Jesus is the one who now leads you. And Paul goes on to clarify what he means by that. With number two, we seek the things above as we put off sin. So Paul continues in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And Paul's list of behaviors here is just a sample, right? He's not giving us an all-inclusive list of everything that a Christian man puts aside, but he's giving us this sample list of attitudes and actions that are incompatible with a man who is eternally minded, who is raised in Christ. These are the things that the world pursues. These are not for us. It isn't a list of rules just because God really loves rules, right? That's not the point. The real point is not so much the behaviors and the attitudes that are reflected in this list, but the real point is the heart condition that these behaviors indicate in our lives, right? When we see these things in ourselves, it's an indication of a heart issue that we need to identify and deal with and root out. All of us occasionally worship things other than God. All of us occasionally put things in our lives ahead of God, even if it's just our own selfish desires. We do that every time we put something, even ourselves, in the place where God belongs. And so we're all prone to do this. But we need to remember and have this mindset that we are in Christ. And the things that used to describe us are not supposed to describe us anymore. Because of Jesus, we can put these things away and we can embrace the eternally minded life that we're called to. We all know that even the most mature believer can and does sin, right? And including Paul, who wrote this, right? So sinlessness is not really what Paul is referring to here. But one reason why we drift back to who we used to be is because we forget. We forget that this world, as nice as it looks and as fun as it seems, is temporary. This is not our home, but we forget that. We forget that there's only one world that endures forever, and that's the kingdom of God. We forget because we have a sin nature that gives us the tendency to forget. And we also forget because we live in a world that is constantly encouraging us to forget, right? Every day, you are presented with, what would it be, dozens or hundreds of opportunities, thousands, to neglect the kingdom of God and pursue the kingdom of this world. Every day, you have many, many opportunities. And the world encourages us to forget that we don't belong here. Because we're forgetful, we need to be reminded continually that our hope is not in this world. This is not our home. And when we experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit regarding our sin, he's reminding us that we have drifted. You've drifted away from the eternal mindset that I've called you to. You've forgotten that you are risen in Christ. And this action that you're doing reflects the old man, not the new man. And as we yield to him and yield to that conviction, we can become more and more confident in our position as citizens of heaven. And finally, number three, we seek the things above as we put on virtue. So the Apostle Paul shifts gears and he begins to describe then, okay, that's the old self. What is the new self? Well, put on then, verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In Colossians 3, Paul is driving home this one central theme. Your ability to live eternally minded is 100% based on Christ's work in you. It's not something that you can muster up. Christianity is never going to be the accepted standard lifestyle in our culture. Christianity is never going to be cool. In fact, even during like the heyday of the moral majority and, you know, times like that, living a distinctly Christian lifestyle has always been and will always be countercultural. To embrace countercultural values like what Paul is describing here in this list, you need more than what you have to offer, right? Because we can't do this. We need the life-transforming power of Christ. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, one of the phrases he used was, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I always appreciated, I went to the website of Life Church Charlotte, which is the church Ben Davey launched in Charlotte. And I didn't see this phrase, but I remember when he launched that church, the phrase that he used sort of as a vision statement was, you know, from this passage, on earth as it is in heaven, he changed it to in Charlotte as it is in heaven. Because he just wanted to have this personalized reminder that we are living for another kingdom. And we're trying to influence this city for another kingdom. I just thought that was a really powerful thought and a powerful way to pursue that. It's a constant reminder, man. Your citizenship is not here. You're an alien here. You're a stranger here. You're a sojourner here. You're living with the next world in mind. That's your true home. Doing that, living that way, is a mark of a true, mature disciple. So, how are we doing?